Good Resurrection Sunday. What a wonderful day. As Christians, we get to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24, Life After the Cross. Life after the cross. We understand that Jesus did not stay on the cross. We understand that Jesus had life after his death. And today, that's what we celebrate. All of Christianity really hinges on the fact of the resurrection. And today, we walk through, in the book of Luke, several things that just prove the resurrection, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we have something to celebrate. It's not emotion. It's not wishful thinking. Listen, it's fact that we base on and that we trust and believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And He's alive and very well today and coming back for us as the church. Book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 through 12, and then we'll move over for a few verses just for the sake of time. I love what Robert Flatt said. He said, "The resurrection gives my life meaning and direction and the opportunity to start over no matter what my circumstances. No matter where you've been in life, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad your past can be, no matter what decisions you've made, because of Jesus, you can get a fresh start. And I pray that you believe Him and trust Him and give all those bad decisions, all those sins over to Him today for cleansing, for forgiveness, and get that fresh start in life today." As we read together in the book of Luke, understand something about Luke. The background on him, he's a contemporary of Paul, and he writes, he's a physician, he writes for the benefit of the church. He doesn't claim to be an eyewitness of all the things that Jesus did, but he takes time, meticulous time, to go find eyewitnesses that spent with Jesus, that spent that time with him to understand better everything that had gone on. And he went from eyewitness to eyewitness and took their accounts and collaborated these in a chronological order for our benefit, for the church to teach year after year after year and generation after generation, so we have the facts before us about who Jesus was, is, and will be. Who Jesus is for us, so that our trust is not based on myth and legend, but it's based on true fact. Let's read together book of Luke, chapter 24, about the resurrection. Jesus had died on the cross, a brutal death, and he was laid in the tomb. And here we go, verse 1. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead?'" One of the greatest questions. "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?' And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, also with the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping, looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Now let's move over to verse 36. Later on that evening, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." And they were startled and frightened as though they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? Is it not I myself? Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and would rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You're witnesses to these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father unto you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Let's pray together. Father God, today as we look at your word, Lord, we thank you so much for the reading of your word. God, thank you so much for Luke taking time to just compile the stories and all the eyewitness accounts about Jesus so that we today have fact to base our faith upon. Lord, thank you so much. God, as we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, at a distance from each other, but in our hearts joined together and our faith united, celebrating Jesus. Lord, thank you today. Lord, that we as a church are one body, as you pray together. On this occasion, Lord, we look to you. Lord, we exalt you. We seek your grace and your mercy upon us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you move in every home that tunes in. And Lord, you have freedom over that home. Father, I pray if there's someone lost watching or listening to this message, Lord, they would repent of their sin and turn to you in faith. Father, if there's a Christian who's not living where they need to be, Lord, maybe there's one who's been in doubt and been in fear. Lord, today, I pray today that they would just, Lord, just give all of that over to you today and walk in faith. And Lord, today, teach us from your word. Give us strength. Give us encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. See, all the events and the testimonies that Luke documents in this scripture, all the things in the book of Luke, really, listen, all of Christianity hinges on this fact that Jesus rose from the dead. We don't serve a living Savior. We don't serve someone who just passed away on a cross. We don't serve someone, no, we serve someone who kept his word very much alive today. I want to look at a few things, a few truths today from this passage of Scripture. Where just proves to us that Jesus lived, he was very much alive, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead, and he was seen alive by many, many people. The first truth is the death and burial of Jesus Christ. Luke 23 records that for us, and on Friday, we called it Good Friday, but we commemorated that day that Jesus was nailed to a cross. We see this, Luke 23, verse 33 and 46. We see this, it says, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left, in verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So there's no doubt in anyone's mind that Jesus was living. He was a rabbi, he was a teacher, he was a prophet, and he is Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He was a man who lived among other men and women. He lived in Israel. He lived, he taught there, he worked there. We see this as a fact. And we also see the fact that one day he was convicted of crimes that he had not committed. He hung on a cross for us, and he died on that cross. He came to a complete life end, a death. That's not a fictional, that's not legend, that's not myth, that is fact for us today, that he gave up the ghost. In other words, he passed away. He died on that cross. But listen to what verse 52 says. 52, in that same chapter, Luke 23, says, this man, Joseph of Arimathea, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. In verse 53, and he took it down, and he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a tomb cut in a rock where no one had ever lain. See, hundreds of people were drawn to that day, and they watched this horrific task that had taken place on Jesus, this horrific event that occurred when Jesus, this great man, this great God-man, had been laying on a cross, nailed there, and his life ended. Many, many people saw that. He was forced to carry that old wooden cross up a hill and nailed there and died for you and died for me, died for our sins. But listen, he wasn't left on the cross like many criminals are. Their bodies are just left, and they're left out. Maybe they're taken down and thrown over a ravine for animals to devour up. They're not treated very well. But one man, Joseph, saw Jesus as who he is. He was a man of God. And Joseph, seeing that he's the Savior of the world, wanted to do something very special for our Lord. Took him off the cross and brought him to his own personal tomb and buried him. Jesus was alive. He died on the cross and he was buried. Lifeless. Women who usually fix ointments to prepare for a dead body. It was late in the evening. They went home that evening and prepared all the ointments, but the Sabbath began and they could not complete the task. So they were going back on the first day of the week, which is a Sunday for us. Oh, you see the beautiful things that have taken place. This is accurate, factual things, Christians. What we believe is what really happened. We see something. There's no doubts in the minds of all those eyewitnesses. There's no doubts in the mind of those Roman soldiers. There's no doubts in the minds of all the followers of Christ. There's no doubt in the minds of all the people who stood around watching that Jesus died a brutal death. Today you hear many people who doubt that Jesus even lived. Some say he was a good teacher. Some say that he did wonderful things. He taught us how to love each other. He taught us how to treat each other fairly. And they leave it at that. But see, Christian, what we have is something far deeper because the Holy Spirit gives us insight. He's regenerated us and changed us, transformed us, till we see that Jesus was more than just a teacher, more than just a prophet. He was our Savior. And what he did for us washed away our sins. And the only way that we benefit from it, though, is that we believed and we embraced that and claimed it as our own. What Jesus did in our behalf, we say, I want that. And we took it. Jesus lived, he died, and he was buried. his body lay lifeless in a tomb. The second truth that we have here is that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day as he told his disciples, as he told all those who followed him. They didn't get it at the time. See, all of Christianity hangs on that, all of it. Because if Jesus had not risen from the dead, then our faith would be in vain. We would be just a religion in the world. There would be no life. We would be just another religion like all the other religions in the world. All of our faith hangs on the fact that Jesus did not stay in the tomb, but that he rose from the dead. Jesus' teachings, his demonstration of love and his compassion are all given as examples to us to live by. We're to love God the most and love others as we love ourselves. Yet think about it. Jesus would only have been this great teacher, nothing else, if it would have just stopped right there, had the resurrection not occurred. We would go to a tomb and we would know there would be body, there would be bones left in there, there would be remains. But praise God today, when you visit the tomb, it's empty. Just like on the third day. If Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, but think about it, worse than just being just a teacher. If Jesus had not resurrected from the dead, all of our faith would be in vain because Jesus would have been a liar. He'd have been a fraud. He'd have been a phony and a fake. He would have just been lying to people to get a group of followers. And many rabbis of that day did that. There were many false Christs that came along proclaiming to be the Messiah, and they just vanished away once they could not prove themselves. But Jesus proved himself over and over again. See, Jesus' words were true. He prophesied it, he said it, he did it, it happened. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies about him over again. Jesus claimed that he would die by the hands of sinners and rise from the dead 3 days later. Listen, Jesus is either God in the flesh, or he was just another one of those rabbis trying to stir up trouble in Jerusalem, trying to stir up trouble in Galilee, trying to stir up trouble around, trying to prove he's Messiah, because he fooled people, manipulated them into following. But that's not Jesus. Oh, Jesus fulfilled his word. What proves the resurrection took place? What proves that Jesus rose from the dead? What proves that Jesus kept his word? Well, let's look at Scripture. The first thing we see was that the sealed stone was rolled away. So they saw Jesus buried. Joseph Arimathea had placed a huge stone in front of it over the tomb so no one could come in, no animals could go in. Listen, verse 1 and 2 says this. Well, the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices to be which they prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Well, that would be one thing, because Joseph had rolled it in front. You think a couple of big men could just roll it back. But in Matthew chapter 27, verse 64 through 66, you see, there were many who went to the Roman leadership and said, listen, we don't want the disciples to go there and roll the stone back and take his body out and fool everyone else and thinking that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. And the second thing that he would do would be worse than the first, that people would actually believe it. He said, send a guard and seal the stone. So they sealed the stone and they put guards guarding it at least until the third day that Jesus said he would rise, just to prove that Jesus had lied. They couldn't do it. You see, the stone was rolled back. This large stone, sealed stone, was moved. All these precautions didn't work. The stone was rolled back, And the guards were shocked into a situation. They were shocked and passed out. They were out cold. They became like dead men, is what Scripture says. And angels appeared, and the earth, you see, the earth responded, and the stone was rolled back. Oh, you see, the second thing, the tomb was empty. Not only was this sealed stone rolled back, the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was no longer there. We see in verse 3, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. So we have a couple of facts here. A sealed stone that should have not and could not have been moved by human effort. And the guard, the big Roman soldiers that were there guarding this tomb, they were laid out. Stone was rolled back. The power of God was present in that tomb. And these ladies peeked into the tomb and saw that it was empty. And the place that Jesus' body lay, there was only grave clothes left behind. Jesus was gone. He had risen. We also see more proof from this is the appearance of angels. Verse 4 tells us, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said, why do you seek the living one among the dead? So here these women were, stone rolled back, bodies gone, clothes, grave clothes are still there. And they're perplexed, they're scared. What happened here? And here two angels appear. Angels just don't appear for no reason. There's a reason there were angels there. See, when angels are on the scene, then something miraculous is taking place. Something miraculous, something supernatural has taken place. The visible presence of angels is one of God's ways of indicating to his people that this is a supernatural, divinely planned event that's part of God's great providence. So we see stone gone, stone rolled back, bodies gone, clothes left behind, angels are there. Something, that body was not stolen. Something supernatural, a miracle happened here at this grave. The angel spoke directly to these women, verse 5 and 6. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Verse 6 says, he's not here. He is risen. That's not, angels there, miracles happen. Angels are telling them, he's risen from the dead. I can believe that. I can believe that. I've seen the proof. I saw him down on the cross. I saw him buried. I saw that he's in the grave. He's not there anymore. His clothes are left behind. And here's two angels in dazzling white. In other words, they were gleaming bright. And they're telling me that he's risen. These ladies went right back and told Peter. And Peter and John and the disciples started running as fast as they could to get over to the grave, to this tomb. And they look in. And the body's gone. So the third truth, not only did Jesus die and he was buried, not only did he resurrect from the dead, the third truth is he's alive. That he is alive very much. On our way back from the tomb, Jesus met with Mary and Martha. We see this over in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. And beheld, Jesus met with them and greeted them, and they came up and took his feet and worshipped him. Verse 10 says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. These women physically touched Jesus. And they had this brief conversation with him. Listen, only a living, physical Jesus can be held, can be touched, and can be spoken. To have this conversation with these godly women who followed him in his ministry. Listen, and Jesus reminded them of the word to his disciples to go to Galilee to meet him there. The living, resurrected Jesus had a glorified body with its physical attributes, yet in supernatural form and characteristics as the Lord chose. You see, grave was empty. Angels with a message. These women were so excited. They were doing what they were told to do and go tell the disciples. And Jesus was there along the way. Jesus was there. And he had conversation with them. And they grabbed him. They saw him. They spoke to him. They touched him. Jesus is alive physically. Only a living physical Jesus. Oh, more proof. We see verses in between what we read. You read the whole chapter, whole chapter 24. Two disciples of Jesus were on the road to Emmaus. Cleopas and another disciple. And they were walking along and they were having conversation about what had happened here in Jerusalem. And Jesus just appeared to them, caught up with them. Started walking along with them. And Jesus starts to question them. What are you guys talking about? And they stopped and they looked at him like, were you the only one who didn't hear? Were you the only one that doesn't know what went on in Jerusalem? And Jesus like, what? It's like the great prophet that Jesus, the Nazarene, they crucified him and they buried him and the ladies went this morning and his disciples went a little bit later and the tomb was empty. The word says that he had risen from the dead. And Jesus walked along with them, they said, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's about a seven-mile distance. And it was getting later in the afternoon and he'd walked along with them. And Jesus began to tell them from the Old Testament all the things that prophesied about him coming. From the Old Testament prophets in the book of Psalms, all of these. All the that led up to him. And they still didn't recognize it was Jesus. And Jesus is walking along with, it's getting late in the evening, and Jesus pretended like he had to go a little bit further. And they begged him, hey, come on in and stay with us in the evening. It's just about dark. And Jesus went and sat down with them in the house. And when he reclined at the table, they said he broke bread. And their minds were made open. And they recognized Jesus for who he is. Listen, these two disciples were so excited, Jesus disappeared right in front of them. They ran all the way back to Jerusalem, 7 miles back in the dark, to find the other disciples to tell them what had happened. And that's where we see verse 36. These men went to tell the 11 disciples. Verse 36 says, and while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be you, be with you. Peace be with you. In other words, hello guys, how you doing? That's really what he's saying. You imagine all the things that they had seen over the weekend and experienced, and Jesus had the tomb was empty that morning, that night. They're fretting over, hey, what's going on here? I don't understand. And then Jesus just shows up. Hey, guys, how you doing? I love it. They thought it was a ghost. They thought Jesus was a ghost. Then Jesus showed him his hands and his feet, and he said, touch and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. The disciples, listen, this is the elect. These are the chosen few right there. And the disciples all around, and they're looking at Jesus, and they're like, oh, a ghost! No. Jesus says, hey guys, calm down. Peace be with you. Touch me. look at my hands. Look at my feet. Does a ghost have flesh and blood? And in that conversation, listen, Jesus just ate bread with the other disciples, but he wanted to prove even more to these disciples. He says, you have something to eat, I'm kind of hungry. And they gave him some broiled fish. In verse 41 through 43, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before him. A spirit will not eat and withhold hold things. It takes physical compound to hold food in. He ate before them. All of these physical proofs validate that Jesus was very much alive and interacting with people after the empty tomb. This proves that Jesus is God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man. He is exactly who he claimed to be. Nothing less, nothing more. He's exactly who he claimed to be. And he had physical proof. The disciples could see him, touch him, talk to him, and they ate fish with him. They saw this. Jesus is very much alive. They saw him die on a cross. They saw him buried in a tomb. They saw an empty tomb with grave clothes remain. There were angels there to testify about him. Mary and Martha and the others grabbed hold of him and talked to him. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus had conversation and ate bread with him. He shows back up that evening at the house and has fish with him, and they could see him and touch him. They saw the holes in his hands. They saw it in his feet. He proved them over and over, it's me, it's me. I'm alive. For today, and the scripture even says that he was seen by over 500 at one time. Fourth truth is this, is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus did not only experience resurrection, he is the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, being Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Verse 27 of John 11, Martha responds, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Oh, today, would we respond like that on this resurrection Sunday morning? Do you believe that Jesus is a resurrection and the life? Do you believe who Jesus says he is? There's living proof. There's fact behind all the things that have taken place in Jesus' life. We have no reason to reject him. No reason to reject what he did on the cross for us. No reason to reject the resurrection. No reason to reject that Jesus is living today. We have no reason to live in our sin when grace is free and mercy is there for us. All we have to do is say, yes, Jesus, I do believe, and accept him. Call out to him in faith and repentance as our own. Oh, today, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him personally? What a wonderful Resurrection Sunday celebration for you in your house today. Maybe you are in your vehicle today somewhere. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and become a child of God. Oh, today, would you respond in faith to him? Just say, Jesus, according to your word, according to the facts that are here recorded in your word, I believe you say that you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I trust you. Forgive me, Lord, for the things I've done. Forgive me for my sins. I repent of them. And today, Lord, I receive you into my life, and I will follow you. Oh, today, can you do that? Would you do that in your life, wherever you may be today, watching, hearing this message about Jesus, knowing it's all true? Would you just say, yes, Jesus doesn't care where you've been. He's more interested in where you're going. And he wants to spend eternity with you. Doesn't matter how big a mess up you've done. Doesn't matter if you're sitting in a jail cell or have been through one. It doesn't matter how big a record you may have. Doesn't matter how big a mess up you messed up in your family. Doesn't matter to Jesus. He accepts all who will respond in faith and repentance of sin. Would you today just receive him? Oh, Christian, today, maybe you've been muddling around from side to side and slipping and sliding in life, and today Jesus said, come home, come home. It's time. I'm calling you to come home. Oh, would you say yes to Jesus and celebrate this resurrection day the way that Jesus really wants it to be celebrated, with him first. Oh, today, let me pray for you. Father God, today, there's someone watching who needs you. Lord, their life has been a mess. And God, they realize that, and they've been carrying this burden and this shame for so long. And today, you're calling them to salvation. Holy Spirit is moving on them, and he's regenerated their soul, Father, whether they respond in faith and repentance today. Their eyes are spiritually open to see you. And they say, yes, yes, Lord. Oh, today, would you do that? Would you just respond to Jesus? Father, I pray that you be with the Christian. Strengthen them today as we're distanced from one another, but we're one in heart, one in faith, Lord. Around the world, celebrating Jesus. Oh, Father, draw us together as your church, that we celebrate you and make much of you in our daily life. Oh, Father, be with us. Give us strength today, powers with your Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're watching today and you made a decision for Jesus, hey, shoot us a message. Shoot Pastor Brian a message. Shoot me a message just telling me about your decision. Maybe it's a recommitment. Maybe it's salvation. Whatever you have decided to do with Jesus today, let us know. Give us some feedback. We want to celebrate with you. Have a wonderful, wonderful resurrection day. I love you.